At Centurion Bible College, we're authentic about relationships, we're passionate on training, we're unapologetically biblical. And as the first college in the United States to design an associate's program in church safety and security, we're innovative. Explore Centurion Bible College and you'll find the tools to be better prepared to support your community and the mission of your church, the culture to help you engage with the people you serve with, and the environment to foster learning and leadership. Discover Centurion Bible College today. Enhance and develop the skills to engage and connect with your community when they need you the most. Be intentional in your community with a ministry mindset, understand concepts of safety and security, and make a difference today. For more information or to enroll, visit centurionbc.org or churchsafetyguys.com.
Hour of Broadcasting, brought to you by TwoWayRadioCenter.com, a Motorola value-added reseller. Welcome to the Church Safety and Security Broadcast with the Church Safety Guys, brought to you by Vigilant Impact. The Church Safety Guys is a nonprofit organization dedicated to equipping the vigilant, those men and women who stand watch, keeping our houses of worship and places of faith safe. We believe church safety and security must be a ministry first and have engaged, servant leaders who continually strive for excellence and teams of motivated volunteers that are always training. Join us for the next hour as the Church Safety Guys unpack safety, security, leadership, and ministry operations. With your hosts, Dr. James McGarvey and Mike Scully. This broadcast is also available on YouTube, your favorite podcast platforms, churchsafetyguys.com, and on the original Church Security app. Download it today. Feel free to like, subscribe, and share with your ministry.
All right. Hello and welcome to the Church Safety and Security Broadcast with the Church Safety Guys. I am James and I am joined on this pleasant broadcast by my co-host Mike and my guest host Jared. So
good to see you guys.
Good to see you as well. This side of a microphone instead of in person like a few weeks ago.
Exactly.
I think he's about done with seeing me because we spent a lot of time together.
Road trip.
I started adding up the miles. We were road warriors that weekend.
For sure. It was, it was kind of crazy. And I'll tell you a quick story. You guys will appreciate this. So I just changed insurance companies for my vehicles and my house, right? And so to save some money, because I now have three drivers under the age of 21 on my policy, our insurance company, my insurance broker said, now I'm not going to tell you how to save some money, but she said, I will tell you that if you switch to this company, you'll save a lot of money and you need to download this app to your phone that records how you drive so that we can actually analyze it. And so everybody in my family is like, oh my goodness, no, they're like screaming, no, we don't want to download this app. And so I said, well, how much do we save? And my broker's like, well, you're going to save about 15% if you put this app on your phone. So I'm like, fantastic. This is awesome. All right, we'll do it. So one of my kids comes up to me about 2 days ago and she's like, hey, Dad, you know that app you told us to download? And I said, yeah. And she's like, well, I downloaded it to my phone. You know, it tells you when you're going over the speed limit and it sends alerts. And I'm like, no, absolutely. I had no clue whatsoever. And she's like, well, pick up. She's like, you've been driving all over. She's like, open one of the trips. So I go, and the first one I open is from Green Bay to Chicago with Jared and I. When we were driving, basically we're done with the conferences, we were driving back, and I pull it up, and the whole thing, it gives you like a little red dot if you're speeding. The whole trip was bright flaming red, and I'm like, oh my goodness. I'm like, you know, part of this could be because I was driving through Chicago, right? I'm like trying to get there faster, but I'm like, oh my goodness. I'm like, I am so in trouble. My kids are like laughing at me, and they're like, ah, dad's got a heavy foot.
You can kiss that 15% savings goodbye.
Hopefully.
You probably got a surcharge just driving through Chicago. It's like you lose a little bit of freedom just crossing through Illinois.
Oh, we both had to, because Jared was flying out of O'Hare. So we spent the night, we drove down, we spent the night in Hampton Inn and in Chicago, and it was a nice hotel. I mean, it was right next to the airport, and it worked out really well. We saw some interesting characters for sure. And
yeah, the best was our the mood lighting at the restaurant we ate at. They had had a power outage earlier, and so they were running off a generator. And so for about, the waiter came over, he goes, it's going to get dark in here for about 10 minutes because we have to switch the power source over. And so he literally propped his cell phone with the light on, right on the shelf above our table. And so couldn't even see what you were eating, but makes for good stories.
It does. It was funny. I mean, it wasn't that long, but yeah, everybody in the restaurant, and that was like the only restaurant we could find around for some reason, but I mean, the food was good. I didn't have any concerns, or maybe I was just so tired and beat that I was like, this is gonna, I don't know, but this is gonna work. But anyhow, so if you've listened to us, welcome back in the past. And if this is your first time, welcome. We have a number of resources on our website, which is churchsafetyguys.com. And then also on the Church Security app, which you're welcome to download and register. That's actually free to download on Google and iOS platforms. And to register is free, and there's plenty of resources on there as well. So you're welcome to do that. And as always, if we can be of any assistance to you and your ministry, please reach out. We'd love to work with you guys. We'd love to help you as much as possible, even if it's just a simple question. We have all sorts of resources from Arizona all the way out to Florida. So
a little birdie told me that this guy right here might be joining and taking some phone calls too. So I heard. I could be wrong.
I'll keep the ringer on.
Yeah. So I'll throw it out there, but Jared is going to be a normal face, certainly for our ministry, and we appreciate his involvement. And he is, he's going to be our engagement and outreach coordinator. And, I think that's a fancy title. Did I make that title fancy enough?
Yeah, the business card's going to have to be legal with
small font.
Business card? Small what? Font.
Wait, I don't even have a business card. What's this? I quit.
Sorry, Jared, don't tell him that you got a business card before he did.
I'll leave out the steak dinner too.
There you go.
Yeah.
But anyhow, so Jared does an enormous I'm sorry, the ice cream truck is driving by my home at the moment. So if you hear weird music, that's why.
Or if Jared just disappears off the screen, he's getting himself a Klondike bar.
So Jared does a phenomenal job mentoring and coaching churches, and is constantly visiting them and working on discipleship with churches and whatnot. So it's an honor for us. So I appreciate you helping us out, Jared, and joining. And it's always fun, but it just gives us the opportunity to reach more churches and to be, you know, effectively helping folks. And so at any particular time in the future, if you pull up our website and you ask for help or you want a coaching session, you could get one of the three of us. So it's just a great way to expand our our impact and knowledge base, and we're certainly blessed to be able to do ministry with you. So I don't want to give you too big of a head. So I'm going to be quiet now, and you can introduce our guest.
He's got two words in his title. So you know what, it matters, and an and symbol. Like, you know what?
Jack of all trades, master of none. So it's, you take what you can get. But it's actually, that's actually a good, it's a good segue into the guest that we're bringing on today, because the guest we'll be bringing on today is Mark Fritz. He's a friend and mentor here locally. He's an operations pastor at a large church just up the road from us. Similar to me, they suckered him into starting a team as a volunteer, and then it quickly morphed into a full-time position that's also grown into being the operations pastor. Before that, he had 21 years in municipal law enforcement in New Mexico, working as a SWAT team commander and detective lieutenant. And then after that, did another 15 years in federal law enforcement. How I met him was when I was starting or revamping our team, I should say. I got his name from a mutual friend and called him up. And really, my passion for helping other churches is something I learned through watching him and working with him. So we'll bring Mark Fritz in to talk today and talk through some real stories of church safety and security. So welcome, Mark.
Thank you. Thank you guys for having me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so we'll kind of follow the similar format to we do that we have in the past, Mark. I kind of gave the quick intro. Did I leave anything off your bio? You're not one to brag on yourself, which is why I made you send me something so I could.
Like you said, what did you say about doing a lot of jobs and not being the master at any of them?
Yeah, Jack of all trades.
Sounds like you've had a pretty busy career.
Yeah, Mark. So one of the reasons I wanted to have you on is your vast experience. But really, I love that you've now moved into a role of operations pastor. You started as I like to joke, you know, just the church security guy, and then your ministry mindset, but also your skill sets have grown in that. What all do you oversee at Mission when you're wearing your operations pastor hat?
Yeah, I oversee all the day-to-day operations. So I oversee finance, facilities, staffing, human resources, anything to do day-to-day. I liaison with city officials, local law enforcement. So I like to say when my boss isn't around, I get to do everything no one else wants to do. So all that kind of falls in my plate. Plus, I'm the older statesman here, or elder statesman here. So I usually have some of these young folks in my office wanting, you know, some life advice in addition to work advice. So yeah, I'm truly blessed to be here. But those 2 weeks where I retired out of law enforcement and was just the security guy here, that I had no responsibilities other than me, were the most amazing.
Wait, you had no responsibilities at all?
I had no responsibilities. I back in my law enforcement career, I made sergeant I was an FTO even before that. So I always had people to manage and multiple things to be responsible for. So coming here, like I said, it was amazing 2 weeks till somebody said, "Hey, Mark, can we talk to you for a minute?" And here I am.
Those are the conversations you have to look out for.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah, I was just doing the math. You must have started in law enforcement when you were like 8, 9 years old. Very close.
Yeah. I'm much older than all of you. I started through a high school work program, and I was in my junior year in high school. They basically had an internship program. But once again, this is back in the 70s. It was an internship program until they needed a stand-in dispatcher. And then a stand-in dispatcher job turned into a full-time dispatcher job. I actually worked full-time dispatch midnights when I was a senior in high school. I was not on the honor roll that year. There was a reason for that. But I made a deal with my parents that if I could if I could do the job. I only had school till like 10:30 that morning anyway. So yeah, so that's how my career started so early. Yeah.
Wow.
That's crazy, because I did a similar thing starting off. I was actually in high school and I worked for a private ambulance company that was tied into our local 911 system. And I did that. I worked third shift. I was the dispatcher for the ambulance company. Yeah. And I think I made a similar promise to my yeah. to my parents. So that's pretty awesome.
There was a period of time. Well, I went through the academy when I was 18. I graduated high school in May, like most high schools graduate. And I turned 18 in July, and by September they had made me a patrolman. And I'll just preface that by saying, as soon as I got to a position in rank that I could ensure that we didn't hire 18-year-olds, that was one of the first things we did. That's awful young to be having that type of responsibility.
Was that like a LT at that point before you could make that call?
When I turned 18, I had done an internship and then worked in dispatch, and the old gruff chief of police came in, a small law enforcement agency, and said, "I understand you're 18. Today's your birthday." And I said, "Yes, sir." And he handed me a patrolman's badge and said, "Well, you report Monday morning with so-and-so. Go ride with him wow. for a couple weeks, and then we'll get you in the academy." Yeah, scary stuff.
Amazing.
Old days long.
Yeah, how the times have changed. And Mark, you've been doing church safety and security since 2007. Obviously, we've seen a ton of change. I think we started our team here at Rock Point in 2009. And there wasn't much out there for resources. There wasn't much out there for advice. And you just kind of made up the best you could and went along. So talk to us a little bit, whether you've got a story from mission or some insight. As being the operations pastor, one of the questions we get a lot is how to integrate the safety and security ministry with other ministries that see themselves as ministries and see safety and security maybe less so, and as safety and security professionals, how we can get along well and integrate. So I'll kind of turn the floor over to you.
Yeah. As you say, 2007, I was approached because of I was in law enforcement at the time, approached about starting a security team. And I've been in church all my life. And I really, even being in law enforcement, I was surprised when they wanted a security team at church. And they invited me to an informational meeting. And when I went to the informational meeting, which was that week or whatever, for me, and I do tell this story when I tell about how this team started, in my opinion, they had the wrong people in the room. And when I say the wrong people, great people, good Christian men and women, but the wrong mindset. Didn't have a ministry mindset, had a more of a, I don't want to say want to be law enforcement, but lots of discussion about what can we do, what can we not do. And I just had a bad feeling for it. And after the meeting, the associate pastor called me the next day and said, "So what did you think?" And I said, "Well, I think if you've got a parking vest for me, that's where you probably should put me." And he said, "We recognize we had the wrong people in the room." So a couple months went by, and I was reapproached about how would we build this ministry. And that's what I talked about initially. I said, we have to be a ministry that actually wants to minister to people. Obviously, the safety team, security team, whatever you're going to call them, wherever you live, has a function, but the bigger function is we have to minister to people. And I think over the years, and I came on staff in 2013, but for the first 7 years, we had massive growth here at this church. And we went from a 500-600 person church to, at our height, we were at about 12,000 people. just massive blow up growth, kind of like a little bit of what Jared's experiencing now where he's at, just big growth because of where you're located. You got great staff, you got great communicators. But knowing that we were growing fast, I had to put a team together pretty quickly. And I approached people who that I knew at the church that had a ministry heart, a love for people, and didn't necessarily at that point even approach anybody that had a law enforcement background. When we started here, it was me and two other guys, and I was the only one with a law enforcement background. I think it's super important to have people with the right heart in this position. And Jared, you and I have seen it. We hold a monthly meeting of area security directors. And I tell people the surefire way for your ministry to fail in the security world is one, not to have the support of your elders and your staff. Mm-hmm. You have to work with your staff. There's so few of us. And when I say few of us, compared to parking people, guest services people, we really make them feel inclusive in everything we do. Obviously, there's certain things they can't be involved in, but we train all of our ministries to work hand in hand with security and our safety team. And as a result of that, we have great relationships across the board here with all of our ministries.
Yeah, I think, you know, and we've talked about it, and you can, I think we've even seen it in the director's meeting that, you know, the guys that come in and stay really have that ministry mindset and a desire to be cooperative and collaborative. The ones that come in and don't stay long generally want to come in and tell you all about their tactics and their expertise. And if you just sit there long enough, they'll convince you, you know, how much they know. The ones that last, yeah, really come in with that humble approach and a willingness to work both with people in their church and then even, you know, people outside their denomination, recognizing, you know, the bigger goal and the bigger objective that we're all working for.
Yeah, for sure.
That's hard because, you know, we've seen a lot of churches that recognize and get to that point of saying, you know we need to have a safety team, but we want to, in the structure and in the line of things, we want to put them underneath like another ministry like hospitality, where you've got ushers and parking lot people and that sort of thing. And that makes a lot of sense, but sometimes it can be, I love the fact, Mark, that you said inclusive, because sometimes it really feels like security is kind of off on their own because, you know, they're the first to get there, the last to leave. And, they really have to work hard or be directed hard to integrate with, you know, with the parking lot folks and everything. But what's crazy to me is when they do, it's like a seamless interaction, because, you know, security needs those people as much as, you know, they need security, because if you've got those folks, then you've got extra eyes doing, you know, everything from that standpoint.
Yeah. You know, and the other ministries and the other volunteers and other ministries, they truly are extension of us. And I'll just give you, Jared said I could tell a couple stories. Is that okay?
Absolutely.
Yes. That's what
are they like about to do. Him? Because if they're about him, that's even better.
I have to think about that. So, just one story of another ministry helping us, and security actually wasn't involved in it until we were called into it. But we had a situation where a neighboring church had received information that there was a threat on their pastor's life, and it was going to be on a Saturday night, and this several years ago, and they had prepared for that. They had involved local law enforcement in it. And at the last minute, somehow they came by some intel that it was not their church, but it was our church. And I was notified that night of it as soon as they had the information. So then obviously I involved our local law enforcement up front, but the next morning I met with different areas of our ministries, our parking teams, our guest services teams, our children's teams. and said, this is an individual that we're looking for. He could be dangerous. And we cross train with all of them. So they know not to overreact. They know that the information is confidential. And as of yet, I haven't been burned by that. But in this particular incident, I had given a description of the individual and a picture of the car to all those different ministries. And that morning, I get a call from one of the parking guys and said, hey, I think that car just drove in our parking lot. And sure enough, he did. And unfortunate for him, as he pulled in the parking lot, he met our local Gilbert Police Department, who was also sitting there. But there's a possibility that we would not have had the opportunity to engage him before he got into our worship center, if we had not involved and worked with those other ministries. So it's just a huge factor. And we cross train. One of the things that Jared talked about me being the operations person, my weekend responsibilities, I oversee all of guest services also. So I have the parking team, the medical team, the security team, the greeters, the ushers, all of those folks. And we try to train with them and cross train in the ministries, which I think they appreciate, because for us, if we have a situation in a worship center, which we have had the last 2 out of 3 weeks, guest services has a role that they must do in order to allow our security and our medical team to respond to that. And if we haven't included them in that training, then it's chaos and it becomes problematic. And it appears to everybody in the room that we don't know what we're doing. So it's just a huge, huge blessing to have those other ministries to work with us.
That's a tremendous piece there, a good story there, Mark. And 100%, I found that in a local church I'm helping right now, similar concept. We call it our experience ministry, and that kind of is the umbrella for the parking, for the greeters, for the medical, for security. And so I'm coaching that broader team, which is now creating that cross-pollination to the other teams. So that is see something, say something, be aware, kind of how to communicate. We're rolling out more radios this Easter. We've been blessed with some additional funds to add some additional radios and put all of the parking guys on a radio, not just for them to communicate to themselves, but so that if they do see something, they can flip over a channel quickly and communicate with the team on the ground. So really definitely a great point to make is the collaboration that you can create with those other ministries is critical.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think we talk about the size of our safety and security team, and whether you're a big church or a small church, you could always use a couple more good volunteers. And by engaging those other ministries, it's really a force multiplier of Absolutely. You've just expanded the size of your team tremendously, even if they play a different role. And I think the other thing it does, and I know there's a couple stories from Mission that you could probably use on this one, Mark, is it also builds the trust between the two ministries, so that when a critical incident happens, and safety and security needs to make kind of take the lead in the decision making, that the trust is there for them to follow through on what you need kind of in that moment.
Yeah, we've had I'm not saying we've always done everything right and everything has gone well, but once again, we've been truly blessed, and we've had a couple situations that could have gone bad. We had a suicidal subject one time, and I wasn't on campus, and our executive in charge needed to interact with our security leads. And it's hard sometimes when you have executive staff that I won't say aren't familiar with security, because they all have our security policies. They all know how we're supposed to be dealing with things, but they're getting a lot of input too. And you have some volunteers standing there telling them, I think we should deal with this situation this way. And in our particular situation, they didn't. They took the direction of another staff member. It all turned out fine, but it could have not turned out fine. And when I came to work the next morning, this particular executive was in my office and said to me, I'm not equipped to make those decisions. And I told her, you have to trust. I know they're volunteers, but they're valued volunteers who are well-trained. And in that particular incident, one of them was a ranking law enforcement, active ranking law enforcement officer. I said, you have to trust us that we know what we're doing. And that's probably been 10 years ago. And we've never had a problem with that since. So they do listen to the security team. But we also, I go back to what I first said, we have the right folks on the team. And I know, Jared, you vet your folks that just like I do. We don't actively advertise for security people. They will usually approach us, and then there's an extensive process they go through to come on the team. And there have been individuals that I've had to ask to step off the team. And because I've made a mistake and realized that this is not what they're fitted for. But for the most part, for us, and I know in Jared's situation too, his ministry, my ministry is trusted throughout all the other ministry lanes within the organization. And it's a plus. And you have to be trusted by those elders and your lead pastor too, because sometimes lead pastors can be a little bullheaded and want things a certain way. And you have to explain to them why we're doing what we're doing. And the situations that I have been in, they've been very open to those conversations.
Yeah, it's so true. I mean, we were at the conferences, and I'm coaching, I think, three different church plants right now on kind of starting a team from scratch. And the first thing I do is ask them, what's your church's mission statement? And if they don't know it, I go, if you're butting heads with your lead pastor or your elder board, it may be because you're coming in with what you want to add to the vision that God has already given them. And in reality, you need to get a better understanding of what your church's mission statement is and go, okay, from that, how can I apply the gifts that God's given me in support of and going along with, as opposed to being a competing interest?
Yeah.
It's a cascade. I mean, it starts at that highest level and it cascades to your team. As a leader of an individual team, you got to figure out, yes, cast vision for what your team's going to do, but how is that work in support of the mission of that church that you're serving at? So if you can marry your objectives, your goals for your team to the mission of the church and speak it in that sense, in that language to your pastors, you're going to be that much further along in the chance of getting them to cooperate and listen with you.
Well, and all you guys know too, one of the ways for your church to fail is, you know, if your security teams are heavy-handed, and I don't Monday morning quarterback the way anybody else does anything. I always tell people when I help them, whether it's with my policies or just how we do things here, they come in shadow. This is what works for us. This is not, I'm not saying I'm an expert in anything. You can take my policies and you can use them if you want, or adjust them however you need to adjust them. You can, based on your observations, when you come to shadow us, we're not experts, but this works for us. So I just always encourage these churches to figure out what works for you, figure out what works for your staff and your volunteers, and integrate that across the board. Nothing we're really doing it's not rocket science, and 99.9% of the time, nothing ever happens. So during that time, how are we ministering to people when we're not actually doing a security function?
I think Jared, I was actually counting the moments in the broadcast because you haven't used your two word phrase, but
relational equity.
There you go. But you know, the truth is, and I love that. And when I first met you, you used that, and it blew me away, because that was the phrase that I was looking for to try and understand and explain this phenomenon, right? That, you know, it's a relationship from, you know, not only from the safety team leaders to the volunteers, but it's also the other way from the leader to the pastor. And if you don't have that trust and that understanding between the pastor and or the pastoral staff and the church staff with that leader, then there's a void there. And a lot of times that void can generate a distrust, and not even necessarily a distrust, but just a piece of saying, look, you know, you're kind of crazy. You're overreactive. That's never going to happen here. And it's like, well, wait a second. It's not supposed to happen here, but the whole reason we have this ministry set up is to mitigate if it does happen here. And so communicating that and building that relationship. And we've seen that quite a few times. In fact, I talked to a church not too long ago where they couldn't get along with, and this is actually one of the questions that just came in, like, how do you get along with your leadership? And you have to be honestly, and Mark, you're welcome to jump in here, but from my perspective, you have to at least be friends first. Because if you're not a friend and you're not interacting in a positive way with your church leadership, that's going to be really hard to do.
Yeah. It's truly important. And some of the advice I was telling you before we started the show, yesterday I was at a conference and there were a lot of questions, and some of these type of questions came up, and I really encouraged the group that I was talking to yesterday to create relationships with their lead pastor, with their teaching pastors, with their executive teams. And when I say those relationships, to create trust and, you know, trust builds confidence. And in doing that for your teams, those elders and those pastors are going to have more confidence in what it is you're doing. And then if you ask them for a particular situation, say, I really believe we need to do this, then you built that trust. And 90% of the time, you know, they're going to take that advice and move forward with it. But it's hard. It's really hard. You know, here in the Valley, there's, Jared, probably 7 of us that are full-time security people. I completely understand that a lot, probably 90% of the security ministries across the country are volunteer led. And that was me. That was Jared. We were volunteers before we became staff members. And it sometimes is hard for you to create those relationships if you're leading the team, but you're also answering to someone, whether it's hospitality, guest services, an operations executive pastor, whatever it may be. And that may be where you start as it relates to that relationship building. You know, Jared has relational equity. Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Well, mine is aggressive friendliness. We have that in our policy because we get, you know, we get these guys who are, you know, they're serving on the campus safety ministry. And I think, James, the first time I talked to you, sometimes I get frustrated because I'll hear someone on the radio going, hey, we're watching this guy over here. And I'll finally come on the radio and intervene and say, has anybody gone to talk to him yet?
Sure.
No, but he's acting suspicious. Well, he probably needs prayer. He's lost. He wants to know where the coffee is, or it's his first time here.
Sure. Okay?
Going back to that 99% of the time, nothing happens. This is an opportunity for you to go minister to that person, introduce yourself to that person, walk them where they need to go. So we preach aggressive friendliness here quite a bit with our teams. And it's just that in itself builds trust with other ministries because they see you doing that instead of being the guy with the arms folded and the sunglasses on standing over in the corner, because that then, you know, you're creating a wall with the other ministries at that point.
I think very often it can be the word authority itself. I think for some people, the word authority in their own mind puts them on a pedestal, and they start from a perspective of I'm the authority. I'm the one in charge. And it starts adopting a very selfish positional authority versus an authority of saying, hey, I'm here as a greeter. I'm here as a usher that has lethal capabilities. Now there's a difference from that perspective. And you see all over our materials, we talk a lot about inspiring and influencing. And that's the real nature, is that for those of us that may not ever get to a position of direct authority in that sense, you may just be a team member. And that may be where God has you placed, and you may not seek to be the leader of that team. You still are a leader. You're setting an example for your colleagues. You're setting an example for others, and you have an opportunity to inspire your colleagues and influence your colleagues in a positive way, even without the title.
I know for my teams are comprised of seven persons on a team with a medical person. I can't take credit for it, but it happened. And it's been kind of a weird phenomenon. A lot of my campus safety teams almost serve as a small group for each other. They do things outside of work together. They do some training together. Those teams have become really close. And the way I schedule my teams is somewhat a little bit different than other people. I put you on a team and that's where you stay. So they get to create those relationships. But relationships are what this is all about. And if you're not building relationships, either within your team, in your church, with your volunteers, in the role of security and safety, then you're not doing it right.
Yeah, Mark, so
I wanted to jump to a quick question, and you alluded to this at the beginning, but somebody just messaged the question. I've been in situations where it's believed that current or past law enforcement make for the best members of a security team versus non-sworn individuals, even those who have years of industry experience. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, you're probably going to be surprised by this answer coming from me. When this church started growing to the extent that I could not manage it by myself, I had to pick leaders to lead the individual teams, to manage the individual teams. I didn't pick any of my law enforcement guys. There's a couple of reasons for that, but one of the reasons was I wanted to make sure that those individuals were freed up to do what they needed to do if we had a situation where law enforcement, you know, we talk about holding the wall for 5 minutes. That's our average response time here locally for local law enforcement. But I lean heavily on my non-law enforcement people. There are times, and I still have team members who are either current law enforcement or retired law enforcement that aren't shy from giving me advice on how we should run things. I love advice. I love feedback, but I also have to tell them and remind them, you have to understand church culture. There are certain things in the secular world that you're going to initiate in an emergency plan or a security plan, but you have to understand the church culture. You have to understand what is not only safe but acceptable in church. And most of them get it, but they're used to being in the black and white world of law enforcement. They're huge value, but are they better? Not always. I have an attorney. I have an accountant, a banker, garbage truck driver. I have those people on my team. Yes, I have law enforcement people on my team, but all my leaders as of now are not my law enforcement guys. I have law enforcement guys on those teams, but they're not guys that have any experience with law enforcement.
Mark and I talk a lot about this, and I've had the same experience that people automatically think, well, I want to just put together a bunch of cops that happen to attend my church, and that's going to be my team. And that's going to be a very singular mentality team. The best team is absolutely going to be where you've got a variety of personalities, a variety of backgrounds, and a variety of experiences. You know, the room is always better. And so in that case, you know, some of my best team guys have some security experience, but no law enforcement or military, or they come on the team with none of that experience. And I so value their perspective and their approach to things because they don't think like everybody else. And so they're able to see things in a new and fresh perspective that you'd be a fool not to listen to and take advantage of.
Yeah. I think honestly, yeah, we, for years, our safety team, our ministry was referred to as the veterans ministry because of how many, you know, lovingly, but how many veterans we had on it. And there's a gentleman that served with me for quite a while that was a Columbus police commander. And he was also an attorney for the city of Columbus. And so, you know, here he is a high up police officer and he's an attorney. And so he would always come dressed up in his uniform every Sunday on his day off. But he would say, hey, if you need me, call me. I'm here. I'm a visual deterrence, but I'm not going to wear a radio. I'm going to sit with my family. And if you guys need anything, you can come grab me and get me. And from my experience, and him and I are very close friends. We're still friends. He's retired now. And I love him and his family dearly, but much of my time in looking at a situation and mitigating a situation when he was involved was expressing the point of view from the pastors, and the pastors trust me to handle that situation the way they would want to handle the situation with that relational equity. And so there were many, many times, even though we got along great, we worked together great, but there were many, many times where I had to stop him because I'm like, you know what? That's not expressing the love of Christ. That's not supporting the mission with immediately trespassing someone. Like, is there a reason to immediately trespass? Absolutely. And I'm just using that as an example. We set the boundaries. I had a meeting with the church staff and said, okay, this is my recommendation on these things. We should immediately, no questions asked, trespass someone. But, you know, they were leaving it up to me, the staff was, to work with law enforcement and make that decision and say, you know, the mission, again, bringing in the mission piece of the church, that there are times when, you know, it's okay for a homeless person to come in. It's okay for someone that's odd to come in because we're supporting the community. Like, that's the whole point of the church. So, you know, trust but verify comes to mind. It's like, you know, we want everybody to come in. We want people to hear the gospel. But at the same time, we need to be careful. But that doesn't mean that we can't, you know, be aggressively friendly and, you know, and do that. And sometimes first responders, beyond the PTSD concern that's starting to get known more, sometimes first responders need a break, you know, and sometimes if Sunday is their only day to come to church, that means that they, you know, worked hard. They don't need to necessarily be instantly on a team to serve because they need a break with their family, just like we all do when we serve. So,
yeah, that's a really good point. I know of several police officers that attend that don't serve in my ministry, and I don't pressure them. They know who I am. I know who they are. I've had some of them self-identify and come up and say, hey, I'd like to serve. But of all the active law enforcement people that I have on my team, they are not people that I approached. They approached me because I want to give them the space and the time to be able, because as a guy who did a lot of years in law enforcement, I know how hard it is to get to church, working shifts, having court, and sometimes your days off. We had a situation today. There was an active police officer on duty sitting in the parking lot waiting till 2 minutes before 9 so he could check out to go to church. And He's been doing that. He's new to the area. He's been doing that for a few weeks now. He's in uniform. And then we had a situation in the parking lot today that tied him up for 2 hours. But that being said, it's a huge value not to pressure those people. They're great to have, but I know plenty of churches, and I know all of you do too, plenty of churches that don't have law enforcement people on their teams, and they operate just fine. So, yeah.
I mean, honestly, and Mike always laughs when I use this acronym, but I've used it in a few books, and I say, you know, I want fat people, and that's faithful, available, and teachable. Because to me, you know, if someone has those three things, you know what, I can do a lot with that. And if they're, you know, if they're available, they're there mentally, they're willing to serve, I can teach somebody almost anything. And, you know, starting typically, I, you know, when we do it, I start with de-escalation and other skills that anyone can do, really. But you know, I say this 100 times too, I've prayed with people more in 16 years of being a safety director than I have used my firearm. So, sure. You know, from that piece of it, I think honestly, and Mike and I have talked about this before, and I think Jared and I have too. It's amazing to me because it seems like we went through a stage of, yes, you have to have a team, a safety team, have a team. And now we've kind of shifted to, well, we know you have to have a team, but train for the active shooter. And it's like, yeah. The reality of it is the small percentage of what we see that actually happening, we see far more medical incidents. We see far more mental health concerns come into the church than we do active shooter. And I think honestly, sometimes that's a little frustrating, when working with churches. But Mike, you wanted to jump
in. Yeah, it's really to that point, James, is it's an overswing. I think for so many years, and Mark, you were there when you're getting started with no resources, as Jared mentioned, and James and I were doing that as well. We struggled through that, but we kind of worked through it. And I think what happened is the emphasis, the excitement, the you need a safety team, started to become, I think, ginned up almost out of the spirit of fear. And it was kind of almost Paul Revere-esque. We joke about that as well, as it's almost like the active shooter's coming. But it's still the 1% scenario. And it's like they're only talking about that. And I think, Mark, you even talked about it, is the idea is the ones that last for a while versus don't last for a while. You see the dynamic of what they're talking about all the time. We see it in the group all the time as well. You get the folks that's all they want to talk about versus actually talking about the mechanics and the details and all the hey, when was the last time you prayed with your team, for that matter? So I think there was a complete overswing, and there's still a heavy emphasis. Don't get me wrong. There's a time and a place, and there's a value for that level of training. I think, but if you don't have an AED in your church, if you don't run regular CPR on your team, if you haven't actually run evacuation drills or have labels on doors and made contact or outreach to your local department, you got a checklist of things to tackle long before you ever run an active shooter training.
Yeah. You know, when someone wants to come on our team, there's a couple things that I ask them that are really indicators to me of whether or not I'm probably going to allow them on the team. And one of them is, what's your perception of the campus safety team here at Mission? And the best answer for me is I didn't know we had one. I want us to be, we wear name tags, we wear the things, we do the things, but I don't want us to be out there in their face. And that's real important to me. And you're so right about the active shooter thing. The next question is, they will always ask me, can I carry a gun? And I tell them, unless you're active law enforcement or have a LEOSA certification, which is retired law enforcement, no, you can't even be considered for that for at least a year. And then there's an extensive process you have to go through. Surprisingly enough, I've had people self-select and say, that's fine, I can't be on your team. And we part ways and we're brothers in Christ. But when the focus is firearms, that's not the focus of my ministry. It is a necessity. It is absolutely a necessity for us, but it is not the focus, and it should never be.
I love that you make that distinguishing line, like that you draw that line in the sand. I do the same, really used to do the same thing. And I joke around with my guys about that. Like they'll send someone to me and say, hey, go talk to him and ask him, you know, about joining the team and what type of gun you get. And I'm just like, I'm sitting there and I'm like, please stop. Don't do this. But I love the fact that you said, that's not my mission. That's not what my team's about, because that, to me, that's a gold nugget. That speaks volumes that you have to have. And honestly, for any team that's out there listening, you have to have that authority to direct people, because if you falter on that, you will end up with people that, you know, again, maybe don't have the same value structure or only there because they are, you know, former law enforcement wannabes or, you know, cop wannabes or security guards or whatnot. But there has to be an integration of the mission and biblical concepts with that. So I love that.
See, Jim, always a red flag when somebody's more interested in carrying a gun than carrying a conversation.
I say this in humor, James and Mike, I know you're not that familiar with Arizona, but you know, the world believes everybody in Arizona has a gun. And that's pretty true. you know, and so we don't disallow firearms carried on our property or in our worship center. We disallow open carry, which we have occasionally. Just a week or so ago, I had another individual come on campus wanting to open carry. We don't allow that, but yeah, it's just not the focus of our ministry. And like I said, as long as I'm running the ministry, it won't be.
For sure. Well, we are just about out of time. So I appreciate, very much you joining us, tonight, Mark. It's been great to have you on, and I love your focus in your heart, because that definitely comes through with sharing. And we could probably, I feel like we could go another hour, but all of our spouses might disagree with that. And
I just want to say you guys are doing great things. I follow you on social media. I've talked to Jared about you guys extensively. You know, we're in different parts of the country, but you're truly doing God's work, and you're doing great things with what you guys are doing. And for me, I so much appreciate that.
Well, thank you. It's always a blessing to hear other folks say that. And honestly, you know, we just kind of focus on what we think God wants for a ministry. And we just, you know, we stay in our lane, and that's what we do. And, you know, God has richly blessed us because of that. And, you know, we feel honored that we, you know, have the chance to talk to churches really around the world. I mean, I've talked to churches in Europe and Australia, even, where they've reached out to us and they've said, hey, we're starting a safety team for our church. How do you guys do it? How can we do it? And, you know, and that's amazing to me, because I never, honestly, never thought that, you know, that we would end up having that kind of ministry impact. But, you know, it's a blessing to be able to do it, and something that we're all passionate about as well. So,
yeah, Mike, thanks for coming on, Mark. We'll do it again sometime for sure.
Take care, guys. This is great. We're blessed to have you here, Mark. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Awesome. So just wrapping up real quick, as always, like I mentioned before, you can visit us on our website at churchsafetyguys.com. And I believe next week we'll be back with you all, and we'll pick a different topic. So until then, take care. God bless. Have a great week.
This hour of broadcasting brought to you by TwoWayRadioCenter.com, a Motorola value-added reseller.
Thank you for joining the Church Safety Guys broadcast, brought to you by Vigilant Impact. We hope that you found it informative, and we appreciate your feedback and interaction. Be sure to share our broadcast with your teams, join the discussion online, and connect with us on social media. For other great ministry resources, download the Church Security app or at our website at churchsafetyguys.com. Remember, keep a servant's heart, a mindset of ministry, and semper disciplina. Always be training. Have a blessed week.